Hi, welcome to the Set Python Girls Club podcast. I'm your host, Luciana.
And I'm your co-host, Kim Madeline. Let's get going. Hello and welcome to this new episode of the Set Python Girls Club podcast. Today's episode is a little bit special. Today is a spooky Python Girls Club episode, but first, hi, Luciana. How's it going?
Hello. It's going well. How about you?
I'm good, thank you. We've had a bit of smoke the past couple of days, which was a little bit... I thought we had escaped the wildfires this year, but no, they just came mid-October, I guess. It was actually not really scary, but a little bit concerning. I don't know if it's on theme or not. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's totally on theme with today's episode, given it's almost Halloween.
Yeah, like, I couldn't see the mountains anymore. It kind of smells like barbecue all over the place early in the morning. So I was like, what is going on? But luckily today it rained a bit, so it disappeared. I can see the mountains again. I do not live in a, like, haunted house surrounded by fog and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like Dementors were in Vancouver last week or something.
Oh. Please no. Please no. Please no. They're gone now.
They're gone. But the spooky feeling is still around. So in this episode, I was thinking we could talk about some spooky stories related to, well, the tech world in general. What do you think?
Sure.
Awesome.
Do I start? Do you start? go for it.
Awesome. So yeah, the story that I wanted to share starts with a phishing attempt. So I think it was late August. There was some authors. It's like a group of people, it looks like. They were sending emails to PyPI package authors to try to get them to log in into their account. It was like a fake PyPI login page or everything. And they would just provide information and they use the credentials to log into PyPI and then upload malicious code to these packages. So I think like the more popular the packages were, the better for them, because then people would be like downloading these super widely used packages out there, and it would contain malicious code that these people would be uploading to the packages. So it was pretty scary because the emails that the authors were getting looked super legit. It looked like it was coming from Google saying they had a new validation process. And for all package authors, they would have to confirm their package was legit. Otherwise, they would be removed from the registry in the following month. So it looks like quite a few package authors did fall for that, unfortunately. But luckily, it looks like the group that was attempting to do that was caught and the right measures were taken and everything. But it was super spooky that, you know, this was a problem happening with like PyPI, right? Like where everyone gets their Python packages from. So
yeah,
I thought it was a scary story. And that one was not long after another attempt that happened earlier, I think it was July. It was actually around ransomware. And what's this scary is that it sounded like it was something that someone did for fun. In the article that I'm going to link here, it's the story talks about the school-age hacker in Italy who apparently published some packages on PyPI that were malicious, but the names of the packages, they were like possible typos of the requests package. So for example, requests, and then like other like possible typos of requests, so that people, when they were like, you know, doing pip install requests, if they added a typo, like I often do, they would download these malicious packages. And it looks like the package had like scripts that would encrypt a lot of your folders on Windows. So if you're on Windows, it would kind of encrypt your documents, downloads, pictures, etc. And then it looked, sounded like people who would fall for that, who would install these packages, they would see a pop-up message telling them they could contact the author of this package on their Discord channel. And it sounded like they could get the decryption key for free. They didn't have to pay anything because it was just like something that that person was doing for fun. And it sounded like at least 200 people did download a lot of these packages. So,
Ooh. Yeah.
And it sounded like something I could have fallen for sure, because I have like so many typos. So now every time I'm installing stuff, I'm always like triple checking, or, you know, I just install it from a requirements file. So I can always make sure that the packages are listed properly before I install them, you know?
Do you want to hear a pun that I heard at work this week, somewhat related.
You're asking if I want to hear about pens? Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Where did the hacker go after robbing the bank?
I don't know.
He ran somewhere. Okay, I was reminded of that because you were talking about this ransomware attack. But anyway, the real question I wanted to ask you, which one of these events do you find scarier, the phishing attempt or the ransomware part?
Selfishly, the ransomware, because it's something that I would have fallen for. I don't have any packages that are uploaded to PyPI, but I do download these popular packages. So that wasn't a smart answer. I guess they're both. They're both pretty scary. I feel like now the most popular packages from PyPI are very secure. I think like there is two-factor authentication that you have to do that these authors and maintainers have to go through in order to, you know, be able to update their packages, stuff like that. So I think that's less scary now, but I don't know. I can decide. Which one do you think is the scariest?
Yeah, I think I'd be more, what's the word? I'd be more likely to fall for the ransomware one because when I type too fast, which happens rather often, I make typos in my imports and whatnot. But I don't know. Hopefully I don't write code that peer reviews wouldn't be able to catch it. But at the same time, phishing is so common these days, right? Like at least at work, we always have whatever training so that we don't fall for phishing scams and whatnot. But you never know because it always comes from places that you wouldn't expect. I think I'd fall for the ransomware one more likely, but the phishing one is also pretty serious.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. There are so many phishing attempts. There are some that are like so badly done that I get even like annoyed. It's like there are so many typos on these emails. You really think I will fall for that? Can you just really double check like your email before attempting to, you know, to fool someone?
I kind of got a story with that. I got an email from HR recently and it was in kind of broken English. It was asking for weird info from me, but it also had some info about me. The person who identified themselves did not give me a last name, so I couldn't find them in the internal directory. So I was like, is this a phishing attempt? Because it all sounded so wrong. But no, it was not a phishing attempt. I was like, oops. I mean, maybe safe than sorry, right? But I still was like, I was reporting this email to IT. I was like, am I being like fish right now? Like, no. It's actually HR. I'm like, whoopsie.
But it's always better to think that something legit is not legit than the opposite.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like I said, better safe than sorry.
For sure. Okay. So my turn for a spooky security story. The story that I remember is about the security researchers who were trying to insert some vulnerabilities in the Linux kernel. And I found it actually a little bit scary because the premises of it, this happened like in 2021. Some researchers at the University of Minnesota were trying to fix some minor bugs in the Linux kernel. But in the process of submitting patches to fix these bugs, they were trying to introduce vulnerabilities in the patches that would fix the bugs. I don't know the state of these patches. I don't know if they were accepted or not. But eventually they were caught by one of the maintainers who were like, why are you trying to do this? Because these researchers also published a paper on that. And anyway, they were caught by one of the maintainers of the kernel. And actually, they banned anybody with an email address from the university from ever committing or contributing to the Linux kernel ever again. Anybody from the University of Minnesota, like at umn.edu, is now banned from ever contributing to the Linux kernel, which is a lot. But at the same time, it's like, you gotta take a stance, right? Yeah. And I find this scary in the sense that open source and just software in general is all maintained by humans. And sure, there were people who caught these vulnerabilities, but at the same time, what's stopping humans from committing like bad code, even if it's by accident, right? I heard a story at work earlier this week about some library. I think it was EventStream. I'm not sure. Anyway, the people handed over the maintenance of a library to another person for a reason or another. And then when a new version of that library was being released and included some malware in it, they thought the new maintainer was, you know, a willing contributor to open source, but instead they introduced the malware into their library and then that got pushed to a ton of people. But I guess the scary part in it for me was that we all rely on other people on the internet to behave nicely and build software together, but you never know if or when one of them is going to turn into a bad actor.
Yeah, and it really sucks because for open source contributions, like, we want to be as welcoming as possible. We would love to get more contributions to our code and everything, but like, we do have to pay a lot of attention to every single line it's added there, right? So it does create a little bit of, well, distrust and all of that. But, well, we have to do our part, right? Because like I said, we are all humans here and we can only do as much. So it is pretty scary.
I don't know what to think of these two, I guess. For the Linux kernel incident, I feel that banning everybody might be like a bit harsh. The university also posted a response saying that they're like immediately stopping this experiment and they're going to investigate the practices of this researcher and the group of people they were like heading, right? But at the same time, it kind of, you know, gives your university a bad reputation.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of unfortunate that a lot of people are paying the price, but I think that's the stance they have to make, right?
Yeah.
There must be consequences for this sort of action.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate though.
And for the other incident about handing over the ownership of a library, I have the blog post describing the attack, and it does say this attack started out as a social engineering attack.
Oh.
And then basically it would check Bitcoin balances of the victim's account, and then they would like harvest the account data, harvest the private keys, and send like data to another service and whatnot. So it would basically get their cryptocurrency or something.
That's so scary. Do you have other like scary stories related to the Python extension for VS Code when you used to work on it with us?
I only have one. Well, I only have one that I can remember right now, and it's probably going to follow me until the rest of my software engineering career. I can talk about it now, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was a few months into the job. So I think it was July, August 2019, and we had a recurring bug about auto indentation not working or auto dedentation, right? So for example, when you start typing if colon and then you type your block, and then when you start typing else, the else will not get automatically dedented. And we had like an approach for fixing that. So I made a PR and then it was merged, and then we pushed a new release, and then I went home fine. But then the day after, there were reports from everybody all over the place saying that this was not working and this broke so many other things, and people were mad, and I was like, oh my god, is this where I lose my job? I'm not even done with my probation period. This is barely like 2 months in. So I was like having a little bit of a moment there, but it ended well. Like, everybody was just like, it's fine, we're just going to revert the PR and push a point release to fix that issue. I'm sure you can find it if you look at a release between like either July or August 2019, where I did some auto indentation work. Yeah, I think that was mostly scary for me because that's when I realized that some of the changes that I make impact a lot of people. And like, just like pushing mistakes on accident, right? Like, this was just a case that we hadn't really thought of. And I guess to go back on the Python extensions audience, it's just like we have a lot of people who use Python in many different cases and many different ways. And it's sometimes difficult to strike a balance between being exhaustive and also pushing a fix that is readable and in a timely manner as well. But yeah, I guess that is the incident that I'm going to remember for a while because I'm like, oh my goodness. That and also losing my GitHub access 1 week into the job. I was like, wait, I just started, I'm already fired. And it turns out I was just like, there was an automated script that checks and revokes people's access to the Microsoft org on GitHub when they leave the company. And I was flagged as a false positive as having left the company. I'm like, what do you mean left the company? I just started it. Is that your way of telling me I'm being let go? No.
That's so scary.
Well, what about you, Luciana? Any Python extension related to spooky stories?
Yeah, I also have some. Oh, the one thing I will add to your story, I remember it quite well, but I think the use case that broke the behavior that people were expecting to work differently was when people move lines across the file, wasn't it? I think like it was a shortcut that people were using that we didn't realize that people were using as much. So it was a hard one to catch. I will say that. I remember you were definitely super scared, but people did peer review. We all like tested it out. We were all happy with the behavior.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't too bad of a problem for some use cases. But like you mentioned, we have a very diverse user base. People use the product very differently. And we did break for some folks. But I will have good news around that. After, 3 years, I guess, we are finally going to start rolling out this auto-indentation behavior, which we now think is doing the proper way because it is through the LSP, Lingo Server Protocol. And yeah, it's going to be on Insiders, our pre-release version, pretty soon. So if you're listening to this, you can probably try it out on Insiders and let us know if anything is breaking for you. Let us know as soon as possible so that the engineer working on this does not have to go through what Kim Adeline has gone through years ago.
Is it baked into the extension or is it in Pylance?
Good point. It is in Pylance right now.
All right, so remember to have Pylance enabled.
Correct. You have to have Pylance enabled, but if you're not willing to use Pylance or you just don't want to, or if you just really can't, there is a Python auto indent extension that I'm also going to link in the episodes if you're interested. It works quite well for a lot of folks as well. So there are alternatives. Back to my spooky story, I guess. I think this goes back to my first contribution. Again, it's scary for me personally. I don't think it was scary for other folks, but it was my first contribution to the Python extension. Again, I'm a PM. Coding is not really one of my requirements, at least not coding in the Python extension. But I was excited to, you know, start contributing here and there and kind of learning a little bit more of how the extension worked. And my first contribution was on the README, so a markdown file. Pretty safe, right? So I went there, made my changes, and then I submitted my PR. It got reviewed, merged, and then I was super happy. Yay, merged my first contribution to the Python extension. And then in 1 hour or something, I received a message from one of the engineers of the team saying that I broke the build with my README changes, my markdown changes. And I was like, how? And it turned out I had GIFs. I had uploaded GIFs and I was using, what's it called? Relative paths instead of just uploading the GIF and then giving the raw contents, the raw URL.
I see.
Well, I guess it was good that the build did not reach the marketplace, even for our insiders, because it would have broken how the extension description shows up in the extension's marketplace. So it would be bad anyway. But anyway, I felt really bad for breaking a build with markdown changes. And I thought it was super scary that this sort of thing could happen. The other one that I also remember was when we accidentally broke the Python extension, as in it would not load for anyone using the Chinese language pack. I think this was like early 2019. I don't think you were in the team yet.
Mm.
Turned out we made a change, or I think we accepted an external PR. I don't remember, but it was under the file that had the Chinese translations. So anyone using the Chinese language pack in VS Code, because there was like an extra column. Thank you. I always confuse. Because there was an extra colon at the end of the file, the Python extension was not activating. It was breaking completely. And because this was happening mostly for people using the Chinese language pack, which is like a different time zone than ours, we really only found out at the end of their workday that broken for the entire day. We were really upset. But just to show how amazing a lot of our users are, of course, we got GitHub issues filed by them, but we got also marketplace reviews, like 5-star marketplace reviews saying, oh, it works great. You just need to open the file, remove the extra colon, and then things work perfectly. And I thought it was very endearing, right? Like, oh, it works great if you just fix their bug. I guess it's a spooky story with a happy ending. We did fix things as soon as possible, ship a new version. It was not bad in the end, but I guess it was bad for a lot of people for a whole day when they could not activate the Python extension.
Yeah. I want to go back to your first story, actually, like the one where you quote unquote broke the build. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it was a simple mistake, and then you learned that we should probably upload the GIF somewhere before putting them in the README instead of using relative path, which is, a good learning experience. I guess my question is, so how do you feel when it was your first extension, your first contribution to the extension? How did you feel as a beginner when your contribution like broke something or turned a light into red, like something didn't work afterwards? How is contributing to open source accessible to beginners if, well, pipelines go red or something like that?
That's a good point. I felt really, really bad, but also because I was like an internal contributor, so I kind of felt like, I don't know, I felt like a joke, like it's typical, right? A PM try to push code to something simple and then breaking everything. I was like, I cannot feed that stereotype. So I think that's why I felt
Oh.
so bad. If this had happened from an external contribution, it would have been totally on us, right? As a team, we accepted that PR, so it is totally on us, and then we would have pushed a fix right away, right? So I would have hoped that any external contributors would not feel bad because, you're coming from like outside of the team, you're coming with like the best of your intentions, hopefully, if you're not trying to add malicious code. But if you're really trying to just make a good contribution and then something goes wrong, like we approved that. We have the responsibility for that code base, and we merged that. And while it's true that someone did approve my PR and everything, it also came with that, like, oh, it's just a markdown change. Of course, everything is fine, So I don't know. I would hope it's a little bit different.
How would you want as a beginner to be helped in that case when something breaks like that? Because we're like, yeah, it's just a markdown, fine, it's not a big deal, but that kind of, diminishes the fact, like, let's say you're a beginner, something broke, and you're like, I don't know, having an internal meltdown because suddenly it's the end of the world and everything's broken, and oh my God, why am I doing? Why am I a fraud? But the people on the other side are not fazed at all, right? I don't know. I guess there might be a little bit of a disconnect there that can be a little bit jarring sometimes. I don't know.
That's a good point. I mean, people were super supportive. They were all saying like, I could have done this. Anyone could have been this done this mistake. We had no idea this was gonna happen. Everyone was super supportive, and I was super afraid of pushing any changes afterwards. And the team was like, no, you have to face that fear. This is something you can do. And like, really, they were super supportive to bringing me back to my like not scary mode of like pushing changes, which I appreciate. And I think that that was super helpful. And I think that would be the thing for beginners. And I use the story a lot, actually. So I think like it was very good because every time someone new in the team comes and says like, oh my God, I screwed up, I did this and that, and I'm like, let me tell you about this time when a build was broken because of README changes. I think like it's a good story to always tell people like, hey, everyone makes mistakes. And at times it feels like the end of the world, but like in a year you're gonna look back and you're gonna laugh and you'll be like, that was such a minor thing, right? So in the end it was good that it happened. It served as a story that I share with folks.
Oh, well, good experience.
Yeah.
For the second story that you shared about like breaking the extension for Chinese users. So what would you say was the lesson learned from that?
Tests. We added a bunch of tests so that would never happen again. And yeah, JSON files always, if there is a JSON file change, always look for ending commas. It's good that I think like if you open it in VS Code, it will be yelling at you like, hey, you have an extra colon here, you cannot use it. But yeah, I think that was the biggest lesson learned there from us.
Testing. It's always testing, right?
Yeah, testing is important, makes things be less scary. And speaking of scary, do you have any scary slash spooky songs you would like to call out for today's episode?
Yeah, so actually, I did my research this morning because I completely forgot about it, but it's okay. But so the song that I want to bring up today is Decode from Paramore for three reasons. First, Paramore is a super emo band from my youth. Saying that makes it sound like I'm super old. It was an emo band back in the day, and also I first heard about the song in the Twilight movie that has vampires and werewolves. Very spooky, very Halloweeny. It's perfect. And also, third reason, the clip for this video was released on October 31st, 2008, but we don't need to talk about the year. October 31st, Halloween, perfect, great, great song, great choice. So this is the spooky song I bring up today, Deco from Paramore. What about you?
I love your choice. I think it's very on brand. For me, well, much like you, I also did my research this morning. And while I was at it, I did learn of a new song that has been on my mind ever since I first listened to it this morning. It's called It's Almost Halloween by Panic at the Disco. Also thought it was super on brand, and it's a super catchy one. So that would be my song for today.
I'm going to have to listen to it.
Yes. And as a reminder, folks, we do have a playlist, the Sad Python Girls Club playlist on Spotify. Check it out. Their link is in the description.
You would make a great YouTuber, content creator. Smash that like button and subscribe and what else comes with it.
Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell button to be notified of the latest episodes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Luciana. Enjoy Halloween.
Thank you so much, Madeline. And thanks, folks, for listening. I hope you have a great Halloween. I actually waved and then I hit my headphone.